By the Lord's help, we'll commence the afternoon service by reading hymn 573. Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. Gracious Spirit, make me heedful. Help me in his name to trust, and with pleasure in him as my portion boast. In the counsels of Jehovah, he was needed much indeed. There to stand a mighty lover in the church's room and stead, as her surety and her everlasting head. He is needful in all stations, while in Meshach I reside. All my springs and consolations in him as my head abide. And in glory I shall sing to him that died. We will read from God's holy word, from the Acts of the Apostles, part of chapter 10. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, and we'll commence to read at verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? Then they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And Peter was coming in. Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company, or to come unto one of another nation. but God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the 9th hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the 3rd day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him gave all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. May the Lord bless to us his holy word and teach us how to pray. Dear Lord, through thy great sparing mercies, thou hast once again permitted us to venture to the throne of thy grace. And, O Lord, we would come, plead in the precious name of Jesus, that name the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. O Lord, we seek thy help as we come before thee, for Lord, we are poor and needy and helpless in and of ourselves. But, oh, we would come looking unto thee, as the dear apostle said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, do grant us that faith to continually look heavenward, from whence cometh our help. And, O Lord, as we seek to worship thee at the afternoon hour, may our worship be a true, pure worship from our hearts, and that thy precious name may be exalted, and sinners be laid in the dust. O Lord, we would confess our many, many sins, and beg and plead thou would have mercy upon us. How we need, Lord, hourly washing, hourly cleansing from all our sin and uncleanness. We would come with the hymn writer when he said, Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. And, oh, we pray, dear Lord, thou wilt bless that sacred portion we have just read together. And, oh, may our precious Jesus be made very precious to us, as thou didst make thyself precious to Cornelius and those in the house, Lord. May we know more and more of thy preciousness, thy suitability, and, oh, that we may love thee and adore thee more. We pray, dear Lord, thou wilt keep us every moment. We have to prove what the hymn writer said, Myself I cannot keep, myself I cannot save, but strength in thee I fain would have, whose eyelids never sleep. O Lord, do keep us in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our steps, in our lives. But, oh, may we be kept at thy dear feet, humbled in the dust. Be as nothing that a precious Jesus may be the all and in all to us. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt abundantly bless thy dear people in these dark and solemn days in which we live. Do preserve them, if it's thy holy will, from the coronavirus that is spreading throughout this land. And oh, we pray that thou wilt be with all thy afflicted people, wherever they be. Thou wilt make their beds in these afflictions. And may they be favoured to feel much of thy presence with them in their afflictions. And if it's thy holy will, do send that needed healing, restoring mercy. For thou hast said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And thou knowest, Lord, how many feel the need of thee to heal their souls from the festering sores of sin. And, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt prepare us each for thy will. We know not what a day or an hour will bring forth. Oh, we pray to be ready, waiting for thy coming. The hymn writer said, in Christ's obedience clothe, and wash me in his blood. So shall we then lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. Do bless the dear children and the babes, Lord. We pray thou wilt watch over them, protect them in these evil days. And those, Lord, that are growing up in years and at school and college and university, we would commend them each to thee. Thou wilt preserve their going out and coming in. Guide them and direct them, Lord, and cause them to seek thy face and to pray to thee that thou would undertake for them. And oh, we pray for help to those that try and teach them in their homes at this time. And oh, we pray that thou wilt speak through these things, that many may yet fear thy holy name. Oh, do raise up a seed to serve thee, a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Hear the prayers of dear parents for their offspring. Oh, do come, Lord, work mightily in each one, that thy grace and fear may be manifested in many. And we pray, dear Lord, that where thou art working in the hearts of thy children, that they may be graciously established in the truth, that they may be amongst those that grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Remember those through midlife, Lord, and the troubles and trials and difficulties they pass through. Do help them to commit their way to them. And may they look on like Manoah and his wife and see thee work wondrously. For Lord, all power is thine. Deliver thy tempted followers. Do cast Satan out, Lord. Thou knowest how real the foe is. And how often we have to pray that thou wilt deliver us from his power. For crafty one said, is the foe and strong. Saviour, do not tarry long. Do make us real, Lord, make us right. Grant us that real religion that's more than notion. Something must be known and felt. Do remember our dear aged friends, Lord, especially those in their homes and those in Bethesda. We pray that thou wilt visit them with thy salvation. Sweetly assure them that it is well with them, that while life endure, and well when called to die. And take away all their fears, we pray, and keep them safe in these solemn days of the afflictions that abound. But, oh, may they find thee a very present help in trouble and in all their time of need. Do bless us as a flock, Lord. Bind us together in love and union. Help us to pray one for another. And oh, may it please thee yet to increase us both in the church, Lord, and in the congregation. And may there yet be a revival in our souls, in the churches, of real vital things, and thy precious name glorified. Oh, do remember, Lord, thy dear servants, help those that labour. Do bless their labours, those that have to be silent because of the lockdown, Lord, at this time. We pray that thou wilt visit each one, and do bless them abundantly in their souls. And may the day be hastened when they can once again venture forth to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ. And oh, do appear throughout Zion, and may we yet see better days in the churches, Lord, and a gracious building up if it's thy holy will. And oh, do speak through this solemn affliction that's upon the nation, that many may yet fear thy holy name and flee the wrath to come. Do appear in the land, Lord, and knowest our great need of thy appearing. Help especially those that are doctors and nurses and those that care for thy afflicted people and all the affliction there is abounding. We pray thou wilt grant that help and protection, and do comfort those that have lost loved ones, Lord. And may the death of one and another be yet the birth of many, that many may fear thy holy name. Do remember, Lord, our Queen, and bless her. We thank thee for sparing her these many years. And we pray that thou wilt go on to bless her with those eternal blessings that are in Christ Jesus. We pray, dear Lord, for our Prime Minister, that if it's thy will, grant him further healing and restoring. And oh, do help all those that have all the responsibility in the government in these things. But may they look to thee, Lord, and exhort the people to pray without ceasing for thee to work. And we would praise thee, dear Lord, for all thy great mercies, in providence and in grace, and bless thy holy name. And do anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name, if it would please thee. Touch our lips with that live coal from off thy heavenly altar. And oh, may our precious Jesus be exalted, and sinners be laid in the dust. Forgive now what we've uttered amiss. Make up where we so fail. And help our deacons and bless them. And be with each one. And may there be a true spirit of healing. Leave us not, nor forsake us, O God of our salvation. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. We will further read hymn 556. Hymn 556. The Lord proclaims his name. and sinners hear his voice. His mercy ever stands the same, and will in him rejoice. His name is gracious still, and freely he bestows the bounties of his sovereign will on all who feel their woes. His patience long endures, and saved its sinners none. A God long-suffering still restores their joy and peace below. The thousands whom he loves, he pardons and forgives. Their persons he in Christ approves, and will while Jesus lives. Lord, help us to believe, and make thy name our choice. Thy mercy freely to us give, and will in thee rejoice. Excuse me. Seeking the Lord's help, I once again direct your prayerful attention to Philippians 2 and the 13th verse. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Paul's Epistle of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You will remember that in the morning service we tried to look at this word, and we spoke of the wonderful way the Lord worked in the hearts of Lydia and the jailer, who were members of this church in Philippi. And in a few ways we sought to look at the evidences that the Lord is working in us. But since we left the subject this morning, it has been still resting upon me, this sacred word. And I want to look at it from a few viewpoints of the subject, as we may be helped this afternoon. Firstly, what a word of encouragement to the seeking, longing child of God. May the Lord encourage you with this word, for it is God which worketh in you, both to do will and to do of his good pleasure. And how we need those encouragements in the way. There's much to discourage the child of God today, and especially in this great time of lockdown in the country. And oh, may there be such a word as this of sweet encouragement given by the Lord to the souls of his dear people. The second thing that I want to look at, and we did hint at it this morning in a few ways, if the Lord is working in us, then he will give us real desires. The world has its desires. It desires the pleasures of this earth, and we do by nature. We know stones to cast at the world or the ungodly. But in us, you see, are those natural desires. But, oh, to have those true spiritual desires. And what seemed to so rest upon me was this. They're living desires, because they come from a living God. And I want to look at them in a few ways as we may be helped. And you may say, oh, but my desires seem so weak and so feeble. I remember many years ago in Stapler's Chapel, and when Mr. Hammond was preaching, he often used to quote those words of the hymn writer, and they've been sweet to me many times since. Those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids us still seek. And, oh, may that be of encouragement to some poor seeking soul at this afternoon hour. One of the desires that we didn't look at this morning was a desire to be taught of the Lord. What did the psalmist say? That I know not, teach thou me. And how we need that heavenly teaching, the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And oh, how a real living child of God, that God is working in them, they will long and desire, Lord, do teach me. And how we need teaching, how often he brings us into places of affliction and of trial and bitter temptations, and sometimes many losses and crosses. But oh, to see the Lord's teaching in it all, and how he teaches us to lean upon him, to depend upon him for everything. The hymn writer said, didn't he, the Lord speaking, thy whole dependence on me fix. And oh, to be taught to how to pray. So often, you know, we need the Lord to teach us how to pray, don't we? We cannot often order our speech by reason of darkness, the Word of God tells us. But oh, to be taught by the Lord, by his blessed Holy Spirit, and taught the lessons in God's holy word, in divine experience, that those sacred things we read on the page are not just words on a page, but we can truly say the Lord has burnt them in our hearts. He's taught us the reality of them, that they are life and power to our souls. The third thing that we would look at is this. To be given faith, and we hinted at it this morning, to look heavenward, to look to the Lord Jesus. There's some very precious words, and I love that 121st psalm where the dear psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Now if the Lord is working in us, that's what continually we'll do. He'll work living faith in us, so we look out of self to himself. We look out of all the trouble to the dear Lord and to his appearing. And what did the psalmist go on to say? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And then, of course, we have that beautiful word too. And if God is working in us, he will continually bring us there when we're in the depths. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And oh, is that not your desire, to be continually looking unto the Lord? Why? Because in him is everything you need. You look to yourself, or to any man, and there's failings on every side. But in looking to the Lord, there's in him all that you need for time and for eternity. We think of dear Jonah when he said, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Oh, that we may be like that dear man. But where did he have to come to look? Where no man could help him. We have to learn, don't we, cease from man. His breath is in his nostrils. And there's so many things we have to look to the Lord for, both in providence and in grace. But oh, to have that singleness of eye. I often quote the word, and I shall never forget your late beloved pastor preaching from it in the book of Proverbs. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids straight before thee. And oh, that it may be so with us each. And then regarding this sacred word, he says, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Then we think too of that beautiful word in Paul's letter to the Hebrews, when he so sweetly spoke these words, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. The hymn writer said, keep your eyes on Jesus fixed, and there your hope to stay. His goodness he will make to pass before you in the way. Another blessed desire found in the heart of the child of God is this: a desire to be obedient to the Lord, to keep his commandments and his ways. You know, when God works in us, he gives us that desire to be obedient to him, to obey what he tells us. We read, don't we, in Paul's letter to one of the churches, be ye as obedient children. And oh, that we may ever be obedient to his commands. I was lying in bed this morning, thinking on this text. And you know, it came very searchingly to me, really, thinking of being obedient to the Lord's commands. And it came before me like this: those that have come down toward their end of their days and nearing the swellings of Jordan, and I know of four characters, and this is what seems so searching to me, that said there's one thing that they grieved over as they came down to their end. And that was that they had not followed the Lord in the sacred ordinances of his house. We think of one of the dear men that used to be at the Dicker. He said to me in the hospital some years ago now, "There's one thing, Pastor, I grieve over. And that is that I have not followed the Lord in his sacred ordinances." And you know, that was not many days before the Lord took him home. And I think of two others in Sussex that have said the same things. And my late great-grandmother, my grandmother told me, she said that on her mother's dying bed, she said to their family, "Don't be as I have been. You be real followers of the Lord and keep his commandments and his sacred ordinances." She said, "That's one thing I grieve over, that I never took up my cross and followed the Lord through the waters of baptism and sit at the Lord's table." And, you know, one of her daughters was blind and toward the end of her life, and while she was blind, she ventured to go through those sacred waters. And what a time of blessing it was to her, something she could rejoice over through the rest of her days. My late dear grandfather, as I've mentioned many times before, was 82 when he ventured. And I often think of what he said to me, of what the hymn writer said, "Dear Lord, the ardour of thy love reproves my cold delays, and now my willing footsteps run in thy delightful ways." So we have here this sacred word, "For it is God that worketh in you." And that is why I read to you this afternoon this sacred passage in Acts chapter 10. How wonderfully the Lord worked in Peter on the housetop in Joppa and made him willing to go down to Cornelius's house. And as he preached a precious Jesus to them, the Lord wonderfully worked. And he was enabled to say to them, as they meditated and considered the wondrous work of the dear Lord Jesus in salvation, and Peter so preached it to them, and we read, didn't we, "For they heard this beautiful word. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." So we have this sweet desire in the heart which is given by the Lord, working in the sinner, constraining them. I remember when I was exercised concerning the sacred ordinances of the Lord, it didn't matter where I went to hear the Lord's servants, it was either read or it was preached, and you couldn't get away from it. And I didn't want to. It was such a confirming work of God within my soul, constraining by his constraining love to follow him. Well, may there be those when this lockdown is removed, that there may be those to venture in his sacred ways. He has said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And may we each lay that to heart. Are we obedient to what he commands us? Like Peter was to go to Cornelius' house, like they were willing to take up their cross and to follow him. And if the Lord Jesus is precious to us, all we shall want to do is what he speaks. The hymn writer said, make me to walk in thy commands, for 'tis a delightful road, nor let my head or heart or hands offend against my God. So we have this beautiful word, for it is God which worketh in you. But there's another thought that one would just look at before we go further, and that is, if you got a real exercise, God has put it in your heart, but the devil will do all he can to try and destroy it. But he never will, child of God. The work begun will be carried on by the Lord, as we said in the morning service, what he said to these people, this church at Philippi, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform it. You cannot perform it, nor can I. But then we think too of those beautiful words of the psalmist in Psalm 37 and 38. In 37 we read, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And then in 38, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. Another point I just want to briefly look at in these desires is this, desiring to do the Lord's will. And if God is working in us, all we shall want to do is his will, and to be obedient to his will. We think of the dear Lord Jesus, that beautiful example that he said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And then too in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And oh, how we need grace to be submissive to his will and to do his will, and even in the following of him in his ordinances, to do the will of God, not the will of the flesh or the will of man, but the will of God. and how willing Jesus was, you read Matthew 3, to go down into those sacred waters of Jordan, to be baptized of John. And what did he say? Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And oh, may there be that sweet submission to the Lord's will. He says here, for it is God that worketh in you both to will. His will is to save your poor soul. His will is that you might endure to the end. His will is that he will perform his work in you and make you willing. As we read, don't we, in Psalm 110, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But then he says of his good pleasure. Now, I want to look at this just briefly in a few ways. Firstly, it is the Lord's pleasure to work in his dear people. His pleasure to work in them, his grace, his fear, his love. And because he loves them, his dear bride, his church soul, his dear children, he works in them to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then there's the other side to it. It is the pleasure of his dear people to do what he says. As I've tried to indicate, how he makes his dear children willing, it's their pleasure to do for him what he commands. You know, if we really want to help one of the Lord's children or our dear ones, that it may be our pleasure to do it. And if there's real love, it'll be a pleasure to do it. And there have been those that have helped us over the years in providence and in different ways, and when we thank them for what they have done for us, they said, well, it's our pleasure to do it. And you can feel the love in it all, the pleasure it is to be obedient to the Lord's mind and will, as his good pleasure is toward his people. So it is their pleasure to serve him, to love him, to keep his commandments, to do what he tells them and commands them. But then too, it's the pleasure of the real child of God, and to praise his blessed name, to glorify the Lord. You know, many look at the Lord's dear people and they think, well, they're a miserable lot. They're always in sorrow, weeping and distress and so on. But you know, they're the happiest people that walk this earth, because they know what it is from time to time to glorify the Lord's precious name, to praise him and crown him Lord of all and give him all the glory. You see, the apostle, he knew what it was to glorify the Lord and praise his blessed name, and it was the Lord's pleasure to hear it from the hearts of his children, and it's their soul's pleasure to praise and bless him. But then it's a pleasure when the Lord commands us to maybe do something in, it may be for the house of God, it may be in his commandments. And there's a word that's been with me, I don't know why we name it, but when the temple was to be rebuilt in Haggai's day, there was a beautiful word spoken in that second chapter of Haggai, and I'll just read it to you. Yet, and the Lord speaking, it says this: "Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, saith the Lord." May that be a sweet command to some poor, weak, helpless soul. You may say, well, to venture in his ways, to keep his commandments. I feel so inadequate, I feel so weak and helpless. And that's how these dear souls felt in Haggai's day, and yet the Lord put it in their hearts, he worked in them. He says, "Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Joshedech, the high priest." And then listen: "And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work." You see, each one of them had got to work in building the house of God. And may it be so in this dark and solemn day. "And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." Well, may the Holy Spirit so apply that word to each of us, and that we may be able to praise and bless his holy name. And I'll read the text, and may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply it to us. We've only scratched around the surface of it, one feels, but it's been a word that's been life and power to me. "For it is," there was no doubt about it, "God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And the final thing must be this: as he has worked in you through your life here, so he will work for you and in you in coming down to the swellings of Jordan and to land your soul and mine above. Well, may the Lord forgive anything amiss and bless to us his holy, sacred word for his name's sake. Amen. We will conclude by reading hymn 434. "How great, how solemn is the work which was which we attend today. Now for a holy solemn frame, O God, to thee we pray. O may we feel as once we felt, when pained and grieved at heart, thy kind, forgiving, melting look relieved our every smart. Let graces then in exercise be exercised again, and nurtured by celestial power in exercise remain. Awake, O love, our fears, our hopes. Wake fortitude and joy, vain world begone, let things above our happy thoughts employ. Whilst thee, our Saviour and our God, to all around we own, drive each rebellious rival lust, each traitor from thy throne. Instruct our minds, our wills subdue, to heaven our passions raise, that hence our lives, our all may be devoted to thy praise. Dear Lord, who bless thy word, we pray to our souls. Pardon what has been amiss. Take us each into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the divine Comforter, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.